From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Massachusetts Republican Governor Mitt Romney announced Wednesday he will not seek re-election next fall. His departure is welcome news to Democrats, who last saw one of their own as governor when Michael Dukakis left office in 1991. So far, the Republican field is wide open, but there are two Democrats already running, Attorney General Tom Riley and civil rights lawyer Deval Patrick. If elected, Patrick would be only the second black elected governor in U.S. history. The first was Virginia's Douglas Wilder in 1990. Born in 1956, Deval Patrick lived in a tiny apartment on Chicago's turbulent South Side. When he was four, his father left the family to travel as a jazz musician. The young Patrick immersed himself in his schoolwork and would eventually attend Harvard. After graduation, Patrick spent a year in Africa, where he filled out his law school application in the Sudan desert. For years, he argued civil rights cases for the NAACP, and in 1994, President Clinton tapped him to head the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. More recently, Patrick has served as vice president and general counsel for two corporate giants, Texaco and Coca-Cola. Deval Patrick recently told me his decision to run for governor of Massachusetts wasn't political. It was personal.
I've lived here for most of the last 35 years. I've raised a family here with my wife, and I love this state. But the state is slipping behind, and I'm persuaded that the same old thing from the same old insiders is not going to help. I'm trying to bring to bear a range of leadership experience that comes from the highest levels of government, from business, from community work and not-for-profits, to bear in trying to address some real challenges that we're facing in real people's lives.
But there are those who are going to believe that an African-American cannot win state office in Massachusetts. What do you say to that?
Well, there are people who have been saying that African-Americans can't do this or that thing for generations here in America, you know, and I've had that same experience in my life. People said I couldn't move from the south side of Chicago where I was raised to go to Harvard, and I did. People said, you know, I couldn't be a partner in a downtown law firm. I became one. They said someone like me couldn't be a general counsel for two of the largest corporations in the world, and I served in that role for both Texaco and the Coca-Cola Company. So I'm accustomed to hearing skeptics and ignoring them. I think the important thing here is not what I am, but what I bring. And what I bring is a range of leadership experience which is unlike anyone else on the Democratic or the Republican side, and a commitment to try to get Massachusetts moving forward again.
So many people talk about the idea of the new African-American politician, not necessarily as steeped in the civil rights movement, that they bring a number of other areas and thoughts to bear politically, if you will, in your case, corporate America, legal experience, etc. Do you consider yourself the, quote, new African-American politician?
I'm reluctant to accept any tag under any circumstances, Ed, but I take the point. I mean, I have, as you know, had my own professional experience in civil rights, both as a private attorney and as head of the Civil Rights Division in the Clinton administration. And I certainly acknowledge and credit and am grateful for the incredible contributions of people in that struggle before me who made possible the kinds of opportunities I've had. But I bring some other things to the table, as you said, including experience in business, experience in community work and in not-for-profits as well. And I know from those experiences that sometimes the best solutions come from partnership between government and those different worlds.
Let me ask you this. You talked about your experience in the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department. We have been on this program over the course of the last couple of weeks talking about what many inside that division are now calling the decimation of that division, that it has now become too political, that assignments are doled out based on political sensibilities and the like. Where do you see that?
I'm just devastated by what's happening in the Civil Rights Division today. I mean, the division is out of the business of civil rights, and I'm not talking about just a change in emphasis. I'm talking about a decline in impact. When I was there in the Clinton administration, the political appointees and the career professionals worked in partnership in trying to bring an aggressive and robust enforcement agenda across the range of civil rights laws for which the division was responsible. And we had some wonderful accomplishments. We had a fair lending enforcement program, which the banking industry itself credits for a record increase in home ownership among black and brown people in this country. We responded to a rash of attacks on black churches and synagogues in the South with what was then the largest criminal investigation in American history until 9/11, and broke the back of that epidemic of violence. We were involved in responses to abortion clinic attacks. This is the business of the Civil Rights Division, and that business isn't being done today, and it's not being done because of political lack of interest, frankly, by the current administration, and it's just a darn shame.
Talk to me, if you will, about the political mechanism and whether African Americans, in your opinion, are taking full advantage of what is available to them.
Well, I don't think African Americans are taking full advantage of political opportunities, but I understand why we're not, because a lot of us, and this isn't just true of African Americans, it's true of all kinds of citizens in America, are checking out. Not just of the political process, but of civic life itself. We don't think it matters. We've had more than one political outcome which was not in our best interest. And frankly, I think the political class or the political establishment has mostly perfected a conversation about how to win and not why. I think in particular, I'm feeling frustrated, and I'm a Democrat, but I'm feeling frustrated with the Democratic Party because it seems to me we've perfected that conversation with each other about how to win. Everybody else wants to know why, and while we have that conversation, there is a much more negative, much more hurtful vision of government which has been spreading, not the vision that government can do anything, everything for everyone. Nobody believes that. But the vision that government is bad rather than government is us, and that's the vision, frankly, I think was on display in the Gulf Coast after Katrina, and good people were ashamed of what they saw, and I think rightly so. But I've been saying it to people, you need to remember that those folks abandoned on those rooftops after Katrina were abandoned before that storm. And the middle class, who were 1 month away from being just like them and deeply anxious about that, who have been waiting for the Democratic Party to make up its mind about what it is we stand for. So I do sense very broad frustration, very broad skepticism among African Americans and other Americans about the political process. And one of the reasons I'm in this race here in Massachusetts is because I want to recapture a sense of community, of shared responsibility, politically and otherwise, because I think if we don't turn that around, we are in very, very deep trouble.
Let me ask you this about the political landscape for you personally. Gubernatorial races have, over the last 20 years, become where they used to be very local for the state. They become very national. Are you satisfied with the way the Democratic Party has backed you? You still have to go against the attorney general there for the nomination. So talk to me about what you've seen from your party by means of reaching out to you in support.
Well, I think the party has been courteous here in Massachusetts. It's been encouraging. But it has also been, I think, appropriately neutral because it's a contested primary and they don't want to pick sides until we have a nominee, and we won't have a nominee until the September primary, so there's a long period between here and there. I think that the more exclusive group, if you will, is not the party per se, it's the political establishment, which in many respects are nonpartisan. These are the folks who are the heads of this and that, many of whom are my friends I've known for a long time, as I have the incumbent attorney general. We have lots of friends in common. But these are the folks who believe that they get to say whose turn it is to run. They have to, I think, bear some responsibility for running the same old unsuccessful play over and over and over again.
Do you get the sense from those people, and we all know every state has their power brokers, do you get the sense that they're saying, while staying as neutral as possible, that it may be, I'll underline that, time for an African-American to have an opportunity and chance at this?
I think, frankly, what I get from a lot of them is that my politics are their politics. I'd be the better candidate and I'd be the better governor. But it's really someone else's turn. And I think the problem with that is that the people who need a change, the ones who can't wait aren't a part of that conversation. Mm-hmm. The establishment have all the options and all the influence and connections to protect their interests, frankly, no matter who is in power, from whatever party. But everybody else, in my view, is the responsibility of the chief executive, and that's the responsibility I'm looking to assume.
And what of those who are not the power brokers? One has to start to lay the seeds, if you will, particularly in one's own community. Are you seeing excitement from the African-American community as a collective in Massachusetts? And again, as we grow this countrywide, are you hearing and seeing from African-Americans in other states who are excited about this possibility?
Well, Ed, you're exactly right about how important it is to do the spade work. We're building a very grassroots campaign. We have about 2,500 volunteers, and we continue to add to that every week. And frankly, I don't think, while I may never catch the Attorney General in his fundraising, he's been at it for 3.5 years, he will never catch us on the ground, and that's where this campaign will be won. I have much, much more work to do to introduce myself and to build a volunteer base and a base of activists in black and brown communities here in Massachusetts, and we're working on that. In fact, I'm going to be in an event shortly, the beginning of a series of neighborhood town halls, if you will. I've been visiting churches and so forth. There's also been a tremendous amount of support and excitement that has come from black people around the country, including many of my colleagues in the Clinton administration, who led by Secretary Alexis Herman from the Labor Department, have organized to help raise money and raise awareness about the campaign.
Well, it will be interesting to watch as many African Americans like yourself and Kwesi Mfume and others, Mr. Steele, look for statewide office and see how it all plays out. And we'll continue to watch this. Deval Patrick, thanks so much for being with us today.
I'm glad to be with you, Ed. Thank you.